Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I promise no more singing out of me. I don't think I've ever publicly sang like that, ever in ministry, so I don't know if I'd say you're blessed or cursed, but there is power in a name, okay? What is a name? But a name is something that your parents give to you when you're born, right? And this is one of those moments where I really wish I had this incredible story about how I got my name and the significance of it and the meaning or what family member I got it from. But I was actually supposed to be Stephen, and then I was a girl, and Stephen turned into Stacy. And there was no real meaning. I'm glad my parents aren't here because I could say this. So there's no real meaning to it or significance or great definition that comes with it. I know that as you think about like how you might live into a name, I think Stacy's just kind of a plain, unnoticeable name. And I think I'm a pretty plain, unnoticeable person. I'm not a fancy person. I'm not a, you know, everybody notices kind of person. So I guess maybe I live into my name that way. But it's just my name. And growing up, I had two things. One was that there were all these people with great nicknames, and there's no nicknames with Stacy. So I was just Stacy. No matter who I was Stacy. I couldn't be, you know, like Maddie. You know, she's Madison. And so she can go by Maddie. She goes by Mads. There's all these names. Kylie, she goes by Kai Kai. She goes by Kai. She goes by Kylie Bear. You know, they've got nicknames, but there were no nicknames with Stacy. It was just Stacy. And then number two, everybody wanted to put an E in my name, S-T-A-C-E-Y, especially teachers. They wanted to add this E, and so I decided I wanted to add an E. I couldn't make a nickname, but I can change the way it's spelled, right? Yeah, that didn't go over. Mom squashed that about as quickly as I started it. First assignment, she saw me spell it wrong. She said, "That's not your name." I said, "But that's how everybody else spells it, but that's not the name I gave you." My name is the name my parents gave me. They gave it to me when I was born, and I became theirs. There's power in a name. Names start right in the very beginning of the Bible, right? God created man, and he created a woman, and he named them Adam and Eve, and they became his. But more important in the naming came with the job that they got. Because what did God surround them by? But he surrounded them with animals and livestock and birds in the air and fish in the sea. And God says, you are to rule over all of these. And you are to have the responsibility to care for them. And so what I'm going to have you do is you have the job of naming them. And by naming them, Adam and Eve took ownership and responsibility. Think about it when you take a pet home. What's one of the big things you have to do is come up with a name for that pet that fits that pet, but then that pet becomes yours. And so Adam and Eve take ownership, and they begin the naming, and it says in Genesis, it says, and when they named them, that was their name. It wasn't what God picked. It wasn't what the one that created them picked, but what Adam and Eve picked stuck. And that's who they were. But names, they get even more significant. We go further on in the book of Genesis, and we get to Abram and Sarai, okay? And I say those names, and it's kind of like, why are you using those names? Because that's not the names we think of them by, right? Abram and Sarai, two very normal people who wanted what most in this world, but they wanted to have a child, and it wasn't happening. But God had picked these two to be two very special people. And they became incredibly special on the day that God changed their name. God says, I want to make a covenant with you. I want to make a pact, a promise, something that I will not break. And on that promise, I will give you the land that you need. And I will give you a family so large it can't be counted, right? And part of how he sealed that covenant is that he changed their names. You will no longer be Abram, and Sarai, but now you will become Abraham and Sarah. Abraham went from exalted father to the father of many. You see, he was exalted father. All he was waiting for was to live that name and be father. But God says, I have bigger plans for you. You will be the father of many. And Abraham's life was changed by that experience with God. Who he was and what he was called to be was changed by that experience and was shown in that name. I can think about the one time that the name change I took was extremely critical to who I was. It was a name change I wasn't ready for. It was a name change that I had trouble accepting. I had trouble seeing me as worthy. I had trouble of me seeing me as valuable and as worthy of the name as others that I knew with that name. But God says, this is the name I give you. This is a name you will carry for the rest of your life, and it's a name I need you to live into because this is who you are to be. I remember that day on July 1st, 2005, when God gave me the name Pastor. I really wasn't ready. I really still try to figure out how it is that I have this name and that I've been blessed by it, but I know it comes from God and his call for me. Now, I'll take the name Pastor, just please don't call me Reverend Dixon, because Reverend Dixon is somewhere over in Long Beach preaching right now. Pastor Stacy, I think it goes with me, just kind of simple. And Pastor Stacy is that simple name. But God will do that. God will bring a name change to say, there's a new plan for you. There's a bigger purpose. God did it when Jesus renamed Simon into Peter and said, you are now the rock. You are no longer a fisherman that spends his life on a boat catching fish, but you are a fisher of men and you are going to build my church. The name change came with Saul when God blinded him on the side of the road leading to Damascus. He blinded him for 3 days so he could spend 3 days understanding this change that was happening. 3 days. That turned him from Saul, who persecuted Christians, to Paul, who was the foundation of Christianity that we live into today. God changed their names to say, this is who you are. But the biggest name throughout the whole Bible, the biggest name throughout the whole Bible is the name Jesus. In our scripture this morning, Mary, this young, unmarried virgin. Mary, who probably couldn't see herself standing out from anybody else. Mary, who was probably thinking about her future and wondering how she was going to be the best wife, when she was going to be a mother, and how she could be the best mother that she could be. This is what she was thinking. This was the thinking for a young girl in those times. And then God surprises her. One day, an angel comes and appears to her, and what does he say? Did you hear the name he called her? It wasn't Mary. It wasn't young lady. It wasn't virgin. It wasn't betrothed. He says, greetings, you who are highly favored. What did he call her? Highly favored. And he says, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. What it do to Mary? It perplexed her. She couldn't understand why these words were being said to her. Why is she highly favored? Why is God with me? What is going on here? And the angel tells her the news that changes everything. It changes everything for her, and it changes everything for the whole entire world. He says, you are going to have God's child. You are going to have God's child, and God has already named it. God knows that that child is in you, and that child's name will be Jesus. Well, that's the name that's used right here. There's a lot of names used for Jesus. Go back into the prophecy, back when we first start to hear about this, when God's people were in trouble, God's people were persecuted, God's people were poor, God's people were wondering when salvation was going to come and life was going to be better. So God sends his prophets, and the prophets brought the tough news, but the prophets also brought the good news. And I say as one that we love to read at Advent, to hear the prophecy, to hear the promise. And first of all, in Isaiah 7, it says, the Lord himself will give you a sign of his deliverance. And he says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him, and it doesn't say Jesus, and it doesn't say Christ. It says, God will call him Emmanuel. God with us. There's a power in that name. God with us. That God chooses to be with us. That God chooses to walk this life every step with us. That God wants so desperately to be a part of our lives that he's going to dwell in us and amongst us to be a part of it. But it gets even more than that. We turn over to Isaiah 9, and again, and he's saying, the nations are going to succeed. God's going to come. Prepare yourselves. And here is what you are going to call it. But for us, a child is born, and to us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The names just keep coming. Why so many names? Why so many names for one child, for one human life? Why? Because there are so many aspects to who he is and what he has done. Think about that name, whichever one it might be. Whether it was Jesus, whether it was the Messiah, whether it was the King of the Jews, Son of God, Son of Man, those who called him teacher, those who called him healer, those who called him rabbi, whatever it might be, there's power in that name. Jesus would come walking into town with his disciples, and that name would go out. Jesus is here. The teacher is here. The one we've heard about is here. And there were those in powerful positions, and that name would be spoken, and it would strike fear in their hearts. They feared him because the people followed him. The people loved him. The people listened to him, and that scared them. But then each town he went into, that name would be spoken, and thousands of people would gather. Thousands of people would have to come to see for their own eyes what he would do. They wanted to see the healing. They wanted to see the miracles. They wanted to hear what he was going to speak because it was such a radical message that he spoke. A radical message of love. A radical message of how everything was going to change, and it was going to be through God that it was going to happen. There's power in that name. But why did he come? He came so that we could go through a name change. He went through that so we could be given a name by God. Not the name our parents gave us. Not the name on a birth certificate. Not the nicknames that we've had or the things that people have called us. But so that God could give us one very special name. Jesus lived and died so we could be called child of God. And what is a child of God? One that's created by God. One that is blessed by God. One that is saved by Christ's actions on the cross so that we could live a life with God. Who's with you? Emmanuel. God is with me. because I am his child and he has chosen to be a part of my life and walk on this earth with me. He's chosen to be the source of my comfort. He's chosen to be the source of my joy. He's chosen to be the source of my hope. He's chosen to love me unconditionally. And so what is the power of that name? The power of that name is that at any moment we can call on it. At any moment we can reach out to Jesus and he will be there for us. He will be there. It's right in his name. And so this season, as we see the word Christmas all over the place, let us focus on what that word is, to see what's in it but Christ. This is his season. This is his season of breaking forth into this world to live for us and to live with us. So let's call upon the name of Christ. And let's be lifted up by him and see the power in that name. My friends, will you pray with me? Almighty Father, there are so many names for you. God, Yahweh, Jehovah, Creator, Sustainer. And you have so many names because there are so many ways that you are part of our lives. And that you are not a far off God, but that you are a God who is personal and near and dear to us, allowing for each of us to have our personal name for you. And in this season, we pray that we will be able to see the wonder of a name. That we will see the name Christ, that we will see the name Jesus, and that we will know the power that's in that name, the power in that name that changed us and saved us, the power in that name that is whispered over us, you are a child of God. And the name I give you is the name of all names. May we know who we are this season because of who you are and what you have done for us on that Christmas morning. Lord, we praise your name and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.